Thank you, David. And thank you for the warm welcome that you gave me. I'm not sure how that is from a cool welcome. I think that was sort of a mediocre welcome, actually, that you gave, sort of just a lukewarm welcome. But it's good to be here today and to experience the presence of the Lord. We are starting a new series today, and it's going to run for the next 8-9 weeks. There's some weeks in between that some other things are going to be happening. But you'll see in the bulletin, this little handout, the power of blessing and honor. The power of blessing and honor. You know, it's so easy to say that, the power of blessing and honor. But I have really been deep into the study over the last number of weeks, preparing all these messages, trying to sort them all out and how we're going to share this information. And the more that I studied, the more excited I am about this series. There is power in blessing and honor. And we're going to see the connection between the two, how honor brings blessing. The unexpected reward of honor is blessing. And so we're going to talk about all of this, and we're going to launch into it today and give this first message. Maybe just to prepare our hearts, and when I say that, I would take your hand and just place it over your heart. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, we lay our hands on our heart and ask you to open our hearts to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive. I pray, Lord, over these next number of weeks, that all of us would learn things that would change our lives, change our minds. Lord, we know that we have talked about directing our hearts in the last number of weeks and giving our hearts to you. And Lord, tonight we just want to offer our hearts to you in regard to this series of messages, that we would glean the benefit of every aspect of this. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, there is a fill-in sheet that you can take out from your bulletin and just follow along with us. When I was looking at this whole aspect of blessing, I thought, well, I'll just go and look in the Bible and see where's the first time it talks about God blessing someone. And lo and behold, it's in Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter. And here's the other thing that sort of amazed me. You know the first thing that God said to man after he created him was a blessing? The very first words out of God's mouth to mankind was a blessing. Now that should get our attention. It got mine a little bit as I was studying this to realize how important blessing is. The very first thing God said to us was a blessing over. He created us. He formed us. He created us. And then he could have just said, off you go. You know, I created you. It's all in you. But no, God said, I need to bless these people. And we find the blessing in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Now there's another principle that is known in among Bible scholars and teachers, and that is the principle of first mention. Now it's not absolute, but it's amazing to me how often this principle works. And this is what the principle of first mention is. When something is first mentioned in the Bible, it usually gives the underlying foundation for it. The underlying and key meaning to whatever is first mentioned. And it's just amazing as you go through Scripture how true that is. And I believe it's true in this case as well. What does it mean for God to bless us? You say, well, God bless you. You know, someone sneezes and we say, God bless you. You know, well, what do we mean by blessing? And I think if we understand what blessing is, you'll have a new appreciation for it and value for it. Now, here's what it says. God blessed them and said, be fruitful. He said, and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Now, those four aspects are the heart of blessing. When God blesses you, He will bless you with fruitfulness. He will bless you to multiply, to fill the earth, and subdue whatever your surroundings are. Now, your first fill-in on your sheet is this. A blessing causes you to be fruitful and to predominate. To be fruitful and to predominate. What does it mean to have fruit? When you think about fruit, you think of a plant. What is fruit to a plant? Well, the plant is the fruit is the final product of the plant. It's the reason for the plant's existence. It sends up a little shoot. It develops a flower. The flower has a beautiful fragrance. It buds. There's lots of things that happen. And then a fruit is produced. And the end result of a plant is the fruit. And so when God blesses you, He's blessing that the end result of your life will come about. That the reason you were created will come out. He's blessing you to fulfill your destiny, your purpose in life, what you were made for, the part that you were to play. We're all different plant seedings of the Lord. And He wants each of us to produce something. We all carry His DNA. And in the fruit is the carrying on of the DNA. God has created us. He's put His DNA in us. And for you to fulfill God's purpose for your life will be extending the DNA of the Lord. You will be extending His purposes into the earth. His plan, what He has for you. In your particular area, where you're planted, where you're going to bloom, you are to produce a fruit. That fruit will influence the people around you. So that's the very first thing. You want God's blessing because it's in our fruitfulness that we gain our significance. You can put your hand to a lot of things, and you can spend your life trying to pursue different avenues. But if you're not pursuing what God has designed you for and the purpose He has for you, you might be a big, beautiful plant with all kinds of leaves, but there's no fruit. And Jesus actually came across a fig tree like that. It was large, beautiful, lots of foliage on it, but there's no fruit. And Jesus actually cursed that because it didn't have fruit. If we're going to, the opposite of cursing is blessing. God blesses you for a purpose, for you to fulfill the plan that He has for you. So this is the beginning of it, folks. You want God's blessing on your life so that you will fulfill what God has for you to do on earth. The ultimate purpose for you is in the fruitfulness of your life. The second thing He said, you will multiply. It'll be multiplied. Now, multiply is an accelerated increase in amount or extent. An accelerated increase in amount or extent. An increase would be like addition. 9 plus 9 equals 18. But when you multiply 9 times 9, it's 81. Now you've accelerated. Now it's a multiple. Now it's exponential. And God's blessing on your life will cause your talents and abilities and efforts to be multiplied. You won't just be plodding along in your own efforts, trying to do that and trying to do this and expect 9 plus 9 equals 18. And then another 9, okay, now it's 27. God somehow goes 9 times 9 is 81 and 9 times 81, and I didn't calculate that out, but you can do that. But see how it grows? And that's the touch of God's blessing. You see the hand of, you almost talk about people in this way. You know, they got the magic touch. Whatever they touch seems to turn to gold. I know people like that. It seems whatever they touch prospers. And when I look, I think of a person in particular, and he'll be the first person to tell you, it's the blessing of the Lord on my life. Nothing but the blessing of God on my life. I want that. I want the blessing that is multiplied multiplies my effort, accelerates the product of what is coming from my life. That comes from the blessing of the Lord. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. God wants you to be the predominant influence. When you have the hand of the Lord upon you, you will be the predominant influence. You may not be the richest. You may not be the smartest. You may not hold the highest office, but you will be the most influential. Not because of you, but because of the blessing of the Lord upon your life. And I've watched that. And I've seen that. I've watched situations where there's been an atmosphere and someone moves into the conversation and it changes. It changes because they bring an anointing. They bring a presence. It's like the demoniac who's cutting himself and he's wailing and he's doing all these things. And Jesus comes to his presence and immediately just kneels down at his feet. There's something about the blessing of God upon our life that allows us to predominate above and beyond our own abilities. We need the blessing of the Lord in our life. God blessed Adam and Eve with that kind of blessing. And that blessing is to be passed on, and it comes down to us today. Now, here's the next fill-in. Increase with God's blessing adds no sorrow. Increase with God's blessing adds no sorrow. Now, you can understand that the human desire is to have increase, to be fruitful in their own efforts, to predominate, to, you know, to be in control. But if you remove that from the blessing of the Lord, it becomes harmful. You harm other people around you. You start a business and you want to be successful, you cut corners, you compromise, you cheat a little bit, you take advantage of people, and you cause pain, you cause sorrow. And eventually it causes sorrow to your own life because that you can only do that so long until it comes around. But the blessing of the Lord adds no sorrow. It's so important that whatever you do, you're trusting God for it. You're not going in your own efforts. You're not trying to achieve it in your own way. But you're trusting the blessing. You're not trusting your own ability. And you're not, you know, it comes back to this first one, the fruit. A lot of people say, I want to do this, and I'm going to achieve this, and I'm going to be victorious in this way, and I'm going to, you know, be productive in this. And they put their heart to it, and they can do it, but they cause pain all around them. Because first of all, it's not the DNA of the Lord. They just do it in their own efforts. They're trying to achieve at the expense of others, so they cause pain. But when you are moving in the Lord, and His blessing comes upon you, all those things happen. But you're not causing pain to anyone else. In fact, the Bible says your gift makes room for you. When you use your gift and you excel, it doesn't mean you're pushing someone out of their position. Because when they move and work in their gifting, it makes room for them. In the kingdom of God, there's no competition. There's no vying. Each of us are meant to give our gift. When you serve and give your gift, there is a room that's created around you. When the next person, they give their gift, there's room around them. So no one is challenging or hurting anyone else. Everybody's working in their blessing, fulfilling their calling, and not causing any pain. Now the next fill-in, I just was jumping down through the scripture and I saw how God blessed people. Started with Adam and Eve and it goes down through others. But then we come to Abraham. And here's your fill-in. God's blessing on Abraham and his descendants is still evident today. It's amazing. You read these Old Testament stories right back from the very beginning of Genesis, talking about Abraham. Then pick up the newspaper today, and you're talking about the descendants of Abraham. You can hardly pick up the papers today without reading about the Middle East. You know that the three major religions of the world came out of the seed of Abraham. Judaism, Islam, Christianity. It all has its roots from Abraham. To us, we revere Abraham, as it says in the New Testament, as the father of the faithful. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham, not the natural seed. We have received the spirit. Listen, the blessings of Abraham have come on us because of Abraham's seed. Getting ahead of myself a little bit here. And the seed of Abraham is Jesus. Now, the promise and the blessing was coming down through a lineage. And it was to come down through Jesus. And we find that even in the New Testament, it's written, it's not seeds plural that all the world's going to be blessed, but singular. There was a singular person going to come from Abraham that was going to bless all the world. Well, let's read about it here in Genesis 12. When God first spoke it, Genesis 12, I mean, we're way back at the beginning here. Genesis 12, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God blessed Abraham to give him a seed, a singular seed, that was going to bless the whole world. And we're going to see how this unfolds and how the vying for the blessing actually determine that lineage of how it was going to come down to us today. But just think about the blessing upon Abraham. I just love this story in Genesis chapter 14. Shortly after this, you know, Abraham is being blessed. His herds are increasing. And there's all kinds of stories of how Abraham just trusted the Lord. There was some vying with his nephew Lot, and their herdsmen were saying, oh, there's not enough grassland here, and we got Lot's herds and Abraham's herds. And here's what Abraham did. He says to Lot, if you want the west, I'll take the east. If you want the highlands, I'll take the lowlands. You want the lowlands, I'll take the highlands. He says, Lot, you pick where you want to be, and then I'll go wherever else. You know why Abraham could do that? Because he was looking for the blessing of the Lord. He knew it didn't depend on where he was. He knew God would bless him in the highlands. The Lord would bless him because the blessing of the Lord is what makes rich, not where you are. And Abraham knew that. And so he let Lot chooses Sodom and Gomorrah because there were cities, well-watered plains. So Lot goes down there, and it was actually to his detriment, as you can see, because those cities were very sinful. But anyway, as the story unfolds, and I just quickly go through this. There were four kings who came in against the five kings of Canaan, which was Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was Zoar, and there were some other cities. And these kings came in and attacked, raided these cities, sacked them, defeated them, carried them off, took the women, the children, the livestock, and carried them away. Now, Abraham, because he didn't go there, he's up in the mountains, he's just following God. He hears that these four kings have come in and conquered these cities. And what does Abraham do? I just love it. He says, well, I'm not going to take this. He arms his 318 servants that's in his household. Just the guys that work for him, his servants. He says, get your swords. We're going to go and we're going to get back this plunder. And so he does. They go. They conquer, I mean, they conquer the army that's taken the five cities. Abraham conquers them with 318 servants. Why? Because of the blessing of the Lord on him. Multiplied his everything, made him be the predominant one. He conquers. Well, as you can tell, these cities, the mayors and the leaders of these cities are very appreciative to Abram. And so they say to Abraham, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for bringing our families back. If you just give us back our families, you can have all the plunder. You can take all the herds and you take all the things they carried off, all the gold, everything we have. You keep that. We just give us our children back. We find Abraham's answer in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 22. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Abraham knew his source. Abraham knew it was the blessing of the Lord. And he said to this king, I'm not going to take anything. I'm not taking a thread. I'm not taking a sandal strap. You can have everything back. Because I don't want, I'm paraphrasing this now, I don't want you later to look and see how God has blessed me and say, hey, yeah, Abraham got what he did because we gave him all our sheep and we gave him all our goats. And look how he's doing now. But, you know, it's really our stuff that he has. And Abraham said, I'm not taking one thing. Because you're not going to say, we made Abraham rich. He is just trusting God, and he realizes it's the blessing of the Lord on his life. And he's the father of the faithful. He lived it. He walked it out. He shared it with his children. Now, as you can see, he went through a hard time. He had no heir. And God says, you're going to be, you know, you're going to have a great nation. He looks around. He has no descendants. His wife is barren. And I can't go through the whole story here. But God eventually gives him one seed that comes through Rachel. Sarah. I'll get it straight. Keep me straight, I'm going. And he has a son, Isaac. Now, there's Ishmael, there's Isaac, but because of Abraham, God blesses Ishmael, which is the beginning of the Arab nations. And he also, but his hands on Jacob, that this promise that the one that's going to come, I mean, through Isaac, the promise is on Isaac, that it was going to come through him. It moves on down until Isaac has two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau is the oldest. He's the strongest. He's the most macho. Isaac likes him because outwardly he is the talented one. He has the bearing. He has the presence. He's hairy. I don't know what that has to do with it, but the Bible says he was a hairy man. He's an outdoorsman. He was just a man's man. And Isaac said, that's the one. Now Jacob, he's more refined, the Bible says. He stays at home, sort of a mama's boy. But here's the difference. And here's your next fill-in. Jacob valued the blessing while Esau despised it. Somehow in Jacob, as he heard the stories of his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, there was something in him. I want the blessing. I want that anointing. I want that birthright. I want it to come through me. I know I'm not the oldest. I know it doesn't come to me. I know my bearing isn't necessary. But he had a hunger after God. And you can read the story how Esau comes in from the field. He's hungry. Jacob has made some stew. Esau, and just, you know, he's, I'm famished, I'm going to die. And Jacob says, well, sell me your birthright, and I'll give you the stew. And Esau, I don't know why he did it, and he says, sure. It was like maybe he was trusting his own strength. Maybe he realized it doesn't matter what happens outwardly. I can still have it. I'm still the strongest. I still have the favor of my father. It doesn't matter. Maybe he was trusting his own strength, but he despised the birthright. He despised the blessing. Later on, where Jacob is going to die, before he's died, he's going to bless and give that blessing to Esau. But Jacob, and this is with his mother helping him, they connive and they scheme, deceive Isaac because he's blind. And you can read the story how they actually steal, as it were, the blessing. Jacob makes out like he's Jake or like he's Esau, and Isaac gives him the blessing. Now, we can never justify deceit or think the end justifies the means, because it doesn't. But it does show this. Jacob valued the blessing. He wanted it. He desired it. Esau didn't. And somehow in God's sight, as he looks down, he chooses Jacob. The lineage is going to come through Jacob. I can't go into the whole story. You can read it in Genesis, but you'll find immediately he has to flee because Esau is going to kill him because he's the strongest. Esau is going to kill Jacob. And Jacob flees and he sleeps, puts his head on a stone, as it were, and he sees the heavens open and he sees angels ascending and God speaks to him. And Jacob, out of his heart, says, God, if you will bless me, I'll give you a tithe of everything that I have. He goes on. He goes down to Laban's house. He's deceived by Laban because deceit brings deceit. You reap what you sow. He thinks he's working for Rachel, and Laban gives him Leah. If you're not familiar with the story, it just knows that he's deceived. And he doesn't get what he wants. But God's hand is still on him. And so he's going to bless him. And so at first Laban says, okay, you work for me, and I'll give you all the speckled sheep. And the white ones, I'll keep. Well, it seems like there's a whole lot more speckled ones than white ones. So Laban says, second thought, you get the white ones, I'm going to get the speckled ones. Well, now the white ones begin to be the predominant. Why? Because of the blessing of the Lord. In fact, you read the story, it said Laban changed his wages 10 times because he couldn't believe it. However he worked it out, Jacob still came out ahead. Why? The blessing of the Lord was on him. It didn't matter what the structure was, God was still going to bless him. That is the blessing of the Lord. Eventually he leaves Laban. He's going back to meet his brother. And the night before he meets Esau, he's out, he's restless. He sees this man, and the Bible says he wrestles with this being, which is really a theophany. It's a man-like appearance of God. And he wrestles with him. And you find what happens, as it says here in Genesis 32 and verse 26. They're wrestling, and the angel says, or this theophany says to Jacob, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And he blessed him there. We read over these little statements, and he blessed him. Lord, I won't let you go unless you bless me. I think today, I'm speaking for myself, we don't value blessing. My mind's going in a lot of directions here, and I can't go off in every one that I'm thinking about. But when I was growing up, we asked the blessing on our food. Well, what do you need to do that for? God knows we're thankful. Well, do you want that food blessed to your body? When someone sneezes, we say, God bless you. What do we mean by that? We're going to get into this more next week when we talk about speaking a blessing. But I just want you to see, we read over these things. Jacob said, I won't let you go till you bless me. I think this is more the place of the blessing than the deception part. Because he says to him, what's your name? And he said, my name's Jacob. The meaning of Jacob is supplanter, deceiver. And that's how Jacob operated. That was his name. He tried, but he had a hunger for God. He valued the blessing, but the way he was going about it was in the human side. But God looked at the hunger, and here he wrestles, and in this wrestling, God wins. He touches Jacob, touches him on the hip. He limps from that time on. If you had met Jacob, he would have been a man with a limp, because God touched him in the hip. In other words, took away his strength, said, it's not going to be. You need to be like your grandfather Abraham. It's not going to be in your efforts, Jacob. I'm changing your name from Jacob to Israel. And Israel is, as a prince, you have power with God. You are going to operate in the blessing, not in your own efforts. And from that time on, you never see Jacob taking a stance where he puts himself forward to be a deceiver or to try to overcome in his own strength. He falls back into the blessing of God and just allows the Lord to bless him, and he becomes Israel. We read about Israel in the paper because that is still evident with us today. The children of Israel, the nation of Israel, and how God is still working in that land. Okay. Let me just quickly add this aspect. And it's your next fill-in. The blessing on us extends to our household. Jacob had a son, Joseph. Joseph went through a whole lot of difficulty and hard times. His brothers sold him into slavery. He goes down and he works at a place. The wife of that owner lies about Joseph. He ends up in a prison, but he serves the prison jailer. And on the story goes. But the hand of the Lord was on Joseph. And I just want you to pick a verse out here in Genesis 39 and 5. And when he was at Potiphar's house, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Because Joseph was a son of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, there was a blessing that was resting upon him. And when he was a slave in the house of Potiphar, God blessed the house of Potiphar. The things that Potiphar was involved in was increased and multiplied. And Potiphar recognized it, promoted Joseph through the household until he was the head of all the servants. Because the blessing of the Lord was upon Joseph. And you can follow it right through the whole story. But I just want you to know, when God's blessing is on you, it extends to your household. You need to be part of a family that has the blessing of the Lord on it. You need to be part of a business that has the blessing of the Lord on it. You need to be part of a church that's looking for the blessing of the Lord upon it. Because it spills over into your life. Everyone in the household was blessed as a result. And I've watched this with families. I've watched the hand of the Lord be on families, and it just touches a generation after generation after generation. You could say, oh, it's because they didn't know. It's the blessing of the Lord. And so like Jacob, we need to have a heart and say, Lord, I want your blessing. I don't want to just go through life doing my own thing. I want your blessing. I won't go from here, Lord, without your blessing. That's the heart that we need to have. I won't go into it. There's another verse here in 2 Kings 8 where it says that Jehoram was the king. He did evil, but God didn't judge him. And it says, because of David's sake. Because of the sake of his servant David. You'll find that over and over in the Bible. Different places. Something happened, and it'll say God did or he didn't do something because of David's sake. Because of the blessing that was on David, it extended even to generations later because of the blessing. I wonder the blessings we're living in. I know myself. I know. I had a grandfather. I had a father who served God, and the hand and the blessing of the Lord was upon them. And I know that I am the recipient of a blessing that's been passed down. And I want to pass it on down to my children and my grandchildren. Whatever it might be, realize that the blessing of the Lord extends. Now here's the next one. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we have a genealogy of who begat who, and it's the genealogy of Judah, which was, again, a son of Jacob, who the lineage was coming down through, of the lineage of Christ. So it's giving. He begat so-and-so. He begat so-and-so. He begat so-and-so. Now, 44 names down, we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. And it says this. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. It says someone begat Jabez. And then it says, now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Somehow in the genealogy, when it got to the 44th person, God, who inspired the scripture, says, let's just pause here for a moment. I want to say something about Jabez. That this man was more honorable than his brothers. And we're going to talk about this when we get into the power of honor. It wasn't just that God just picked him out because he prayed something. He was more honorable. The fact he was honorable put him in the place where this prayer became very, very effective to him, for him. But it says he prayed something. And what did he pray? He prayed that God would bless him. We said, wouldn't it automatically come? Possibly. But he prayed for it. Now, this is what I want to say. As children of God, you can say, well, the blessing of God automatically comes on every child of God. And to a certain extent, that's true. But there's something here about praying for a blessing. And he prayed. And interesting, this prayer is very similar to the first blessing that God gave Adam and Eve. He said, Lord, you bless me. You will enlarge my territory. In other words, multiply my influence. Let your hand be with me, that everything I do, you're blessing it. And keep me from evil, that I would cause no pain. I don't want to do this just to get ahead for my own effort and my own sake. I'm not going to take advantage of anyone. I want to be a servant because the servant is the greatest. I don't want to cause pain. And God heard that prayer. He records it in Scripture for our benefit. And the prayer of Jabez is an example for us to follow. You need to get up every morning and ask the Lord to bless you. Is that a selfish prayer? No. It's only selfish if you're looking for your own ulterior motives. But if you're wanting the DNA of the Lord to be produced, you want to be fruitful, you want to do what God has. I want your purpose in my life to be fulfilled. Bless me, Lord. And this is what he said. Bless me, but he didn't just say bless me. He said, bless me indeed. Now, what's the difference just praying for a blessing and saying, Lord, bless me indeed? We find in Luke, after Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, two of the disciples were going to walk to Emmaus. The women came and said, you know what? Jesus is risen. Well, they were confused. They didn't understand. And it said as they walked along, they talked about what the women said. So what were they saying as they walked? Oh, I hear the news. It said Jesus had risen. What can this mean? While they're walking, a stranger comes to them. It's really Jesus, but their eyes, they don't behold him. And he walks with them, and he unfolds the scriptures, how that the Messiah was to die and suffer. Gets to the end of the day. They've arrived in Emmaus. They say, come on in and stay with us overnight. It's too late to go on. Jesus blesses. Jesus blesses the bread. And in the blessing of the bread, they recognize that it's Jesus. Now, what do they do? And he vanishes out of their sight. They go, wow, that's something. Let's go to bed. Tomorrow morning, we'll go back to Jerusalem. They jump up. It's too late to travel, but they run the 7 miles back to Jerusalem. And what do they say? The Lord is risen indeed. The Lord is risen indeed. See, the indeed part is that positive acclamation of experience, of personal experience. It's not just a general thing, there's a blessing of the Lord. But when you say, Lord, bless me indeed, your heart's reaching out, your faith is reaching out. You're saying, Lord, this is real to me, this is vital to me. This is not just an idea, this is not just a concept. This is something I long for, I want, I'm experiencing this, I want your blessing. Lord, bless me indeed. Just be sure there's an indeed part to every prayer you pray. Because it's in the indeed that God blesses. He enlarges our territory. His hand is with us. And he causes us not to have any pain. Now, for those of you that want to pursue this a little further, Bruce Wilkinson, a number of years ago, wrote a little book called The Prayer of Jabez. And I have it, and I read through it again this week. It's a powerful little book talking about how to pray this prayer and to pray it over yourself every morning, because you're praying for the blessing of God to come on you. And you need to pray it in reality and in faith and with expectation. And it will change your life. We need this prayer of blessing. Now, here's the last one. The blessing needs to be claimed and proclaimed. The blessing needs to be claimed and proclaimed. We already mentioned to this. It's not just a matter of just saying, well, it's automatically going to happen. It's like God created Adam and Eve, gave them all the reproductive parts. No, he blessed them that they'd be fruitful and multiply. God's given us all that we need as Christians, but you need to pray for the blessing of God upon your life, and you need to claim it as Jacob claimed it, desire it, hunger for it, say, Lord, I want it. Here's the verse in Luke 6:45: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. We've talked in the weeks past about giving your heart to God. It's your heart desiring this blessing, and you're pulling out of your heart and saying, God, I want your purpose. I want your plan. I want your blessing. I want to be what you want to be. I don't want to run my own life. I want your blessing. I won't go from here without your blessing. And you draw it out of your own heart. You speak it. You claim it out of your own heart. God sees it, and he hears you. What is the handle? What is the handle to the blessing of God? Powerful verse in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And it says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You need a blessing. You need a good blessing. You need a spiritual blessing. It's going to come through Jesus, because he was that seed of Abraham, the first blessing that spoke to Abraham. In you, all the seed of the earth, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. It was through Jesus Christ. He saw our dilemma that we were sinful. We needed a Savior. He came. He died. He took our place. As Christians, we receive that. We receive that blessing of salvation. We say, Father, I want that. I receive Christ. And now as we live out the rest of our life, the fruit of our life is to bring forth the DNA of Christ. And so we have the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. All of that comes when God blesses us. You might be struggling. Say, I'm a Christian, but I don't seem to have the fruit that I need to have. You need to pray for the blessing of the Lord upon your fruitfulness. Say, God, your hand be with me. You multiply my efforts. May it not just be my own self-efforts. I want your blessing. You pray it over yourself every day. And the last part is you, and then proclaim it to others. And next week's message is speaking a blessing. I tell you, next week is going to be a powerful message, because we want to talk about how you pass this blessing on, how fathers can bless their wives, or fathers can bless, husbands can bless their wives, fathers can bless their children, business owners can bless their employees. There is a means of blessing other people when you proclaim it, and I want our church to be revitalized as we begin to speak blessing on one another and be intentional about it. And I'm gonna be sharing on that next week. So this week, I just want to lay the foundation of the value of the blessing, and that a desire in our heart reaches out that says, I want this blessing. God told Moses, lead the children of Israel a certain place, and God and Moses said, Lord, we won't go forward without you, without your presence. I'm not going from this place without your, unless you go with us. And that's how we need to, that's the blessing of God. He goes with us. His hand is with us. You need to pray that every day. I don't want to put my hand to anything unless your hand's in it. I don't trust myself. And you can be like Joseph, still go through difficult times. And wondering, why in the world am I lied about? Why am I being cheated here? Why is all this happening? It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. But in the midst of everything you go through, God's hand is on it. He's directing it, and it's going to bring an ultimate good conclusion. That's our hope. That's our trust. Shall you stand with me this morning? The power of God's blessing. What's the condition of your heart this morning? Is your heart yearning for something more? Are you desiring something more? Has it quickened a desire in you to say, I want your blessing, Lord. I want to walk in your blessing. I want to move in your blessing. God's looking for people that have that heart. And he loves to bless us. You can look at all your problems. You can look at all your faults, or you can look to God's blessing, and he works all things together for good. And say, Lord, here's my heart. Bless me. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. If there's something in you that you desire the blessing of the Lord, I'm going to pray for us, and you want to be included in this blessing, just lift your hand up and just hold it up. Just lift it up and hold it up. You want to be in this prayer. Say, Lord, I want your blessing. I want your blessing. Just hold your hand up and God sees every hand that's lifted. Father, I just pray for us as we stand here. Lord, I want your blessing in my life as never before. I realize, Lord, I don't deserve it. I don't merit it. But I hunger for it. And I say, Lord, would you bless me? Lord, would you bless every person? You see every heart. You see every life. Every hand that's lifted. Saying, Lord, bless me. Bless me. And Lord, I ask that you would just look and smile upon us. And may you begin to let your hand move and bless us in new ways. Lord, help show us our next step. We all need to take our next step with you. If we're going to walk in your blessings, we need to walk with you step by step. And Lord, may we have a willing, soft heart to follow you. And may the result be the blessing of God just flowing into our life, into our families, into our businesses, into our work, into our families, and into every relationship. May your blessing rest upon this people. May we be a blessed church. I bless this church, this people, in the name of Jesus. I bless you. Amen and amen. I'm looking for great things. Great things. We're going to dismiss you this morning. You're free to go. Sign up for Pioneer Clubs if you have kids or anything other. If you'd like prayer, just wait behind. Come down to the front. There's people here in the congregation that are assigned to pray with you. I'll pray with you. Just come forward. Receive that at that time in the name of the Lord.